So to argue that we should never withdraw allegiance once granted is suicidal, because if we maintain our basic allegiance throughout our lives, we will lose our souls forever. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1 that we have abandoned our allegiance to the world and we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now we no longer walk according to the prince of the powers of the air, that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. We walk in the light as He is in the light, Christ, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Then Mr. Hubbard says, never fear to hurt another in a just cause. Never fear to hurt another in a just cause. This is not a Christian maxim. Certainly it is not a biblical teaching. For who is to determine what's the just cause? And the scripture says that we are not to hurt anybody. Instead, we are to turn the other cheek, and we are to be willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. We're not supposed to hurt people, even in a just cause, so to speak. And I'm speaking within the framework of our social context today. Then, of course, comes one of the classic statements. Be your own advisor. Keep your own counsel and select your own decisions. I don't know how many of you have your Bibles with you, but it'd be interesting to check out a biblical reference on that. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the wisest man that ever lived was Solomon. And Solomon said something in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, which we might parallel with what L. Ron Hubbard has said. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice we should make war. What are we being told? That every purpose is established how? By counsel. And even when you go out to go into warfare, said Solomon, what should you do? You had better have good advisors. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said almost exactly the same thing? He said, no king goes out to war against another king unless he does what first? Checks up on the strength of his adversary so he knows whether or not he has a chance. So you do what? You have counsel. But you are told specifically here, don't at all be your own advisor. Excuse me, don't at all, at any time, think that you can rely upon the counsel of others. Be your own advisor. Keep your own counsel and select your own decisions. If Christ was correct, and I'm sure He is from the light of the revelation of God, then we are certainly to take what He says most seriously. Now, it's possible to quote and quote and quote from the theology of Ron Hubbard and to see contradiction after contradiction with Christianity. But there's an interesting statement that he makes on page 19, Axiom 26. Reality is the agreed upon apparency of existence. Reality is the agreed upon apparency of existence. The question is, agreed upon by whom? If you're going to have agreement upon the apparency of existence, you're never ever going to have unanimity. Because an Indian philosopher will tell you that reality consists in the projections of the mind. A Marxist philosopher will tell you that reality exists only in the dimension of the material. You put the two of them together and they can have a long palaver from now until the end of the world. And you are never going to reconcile the two positions, because one affirms the absolute reality of the immaterial world and the other denies it. They will never ever be reconciled. They are diametric opposites. So reality is not the agreed upon apparency of existence. Now, Hubbard says many things about the things of the Bible. He quotes the Bible profusely. In fact, he even took the biblical name for God, El, and uses that for his first name, L. Ron Hubbard. Instead of L period, it's E.L. Ron Hubbard. He has a tremendous view of his own message and what he is supposed to do. He has a continuous fixation about his role as a type of Messiah. He maintains that there were auditors in history. The auditors of Scientology had their predecessors. An auditor is one who listens, a person trained to apply Scientology techniques to better the condition of others. That's an auditor. Now, people who have practiced listening or auditing, Jesus, Solomon, Isaiah, of course, you could go right on listing the people who are claimed to be in the tradition of Scientology. One of the most priceless statements, I think, is found on page 33. The less certain the individual on any subject, the less sane he could be said to be upon that subject. The less certain the individual on any subject, the less sane he could be said to be upon that subject. The road to sanity is demonstrably the road to increasing certainty. Think about that for one moment. It's one of the most fascinating statements you will ever hear. Now, listen. I am Julius Caesar with absolute certainty. Now listen. The road to sanity is demonstrably the road to increasing certainty. I would be happy to take you to Bellevue Hospital in New York, to Matawan, to any number of mental institutions in the United States, and introduce you to people who, under lie detector tests, come out telling the truth when they affirm with breathtaking dogma and total certainty that they are everybody from Jesus Christ to Napoleon Bonaparte. And the certainty is unquestioned. The road to sanity is demonstrably the road to increasing certainty. And they are absolutely insane. It is a very poor methodology for arriving at an absolute system of truth. Now, as we approach Scientology from a biblical standpoint, it's obvious that the Scientology people do not believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in an impersonal God. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is incarnate deity or that faith in him is necessary to salvation. And they believe that man is not a sinner, basically, but that he is basically good. I have before me the creed of the Church of Scientology. And one of the articles of that creed reads, "And we of the Church believe that man is basically good." But it is the record of the Scripture that man is not basically good, but that the heart of man is deceitful above everything and incurably sick. Who can understand it? Jeremiah warned us of this a long time ago. And we are told in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 1 tells us all have gone out of the way. All have turned from the truth. The condemnation of God comes upon mankind because men have turned from divine truth and have worshipped the idols of their own creation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in describing the condition of the heart of man, did not spare us in any way. He said that out of the heart proceeds, and I'm reading from Matthew chapter 15, if you'd like to check the reference, Matthew 15:19, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Where do these things come from? Out of the heart. Now, the word heart from the Greek is kardios, That's where we get the word for doctors, cardiologists. But the word cardios is a synonym in New Testament Greek for psuche or pneuma, the soul or the spirit. So what Jesus really said is this: out of the soul, the spiritual nature, proceeds evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And they come from where? From within the soul. Out of us. And defile us spiritually. L. Ron Hubbard says, that man is basically good. No. He is basically at war with his Creator, alienated from fellowship with God, and terribly in need of the salvation that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot believe that anyone involved in Scientology can really seriously think that it can be reconciled with the Bible once they put the Bible in proper contrast to these teachings, because the scripture is diametrically opposed to them. L. Ron Hubbard doesn't believe in eternal punishment, and he certainly doesn't believe that salvation is by grace alone through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the tenets of the Church of Scientology is, and we of the Church believe, that the Spirit can be saved and that the Spirit alone may save or heal the body. No, the Spirit doesn't save and heal the body. The human spirit is incapable of saving and healing the body. It is God's Spirit that saves and heals, because it is God alone who is able to forgive sin. And now we come to the crux of Scientology. Scientology, for all its talk about engrams, for all its talk about analyzing people so that they will come clear through auditing, for all of its talk about a new approach to the problem of psychoanalysis, has not dealt with the problem of human sin. It fails to recognize that man is in rebellion against God. And if man is in rebellion against God, if the heart of man is at enmity with God, then it is impossible in treating the mind to penetrate the corruption of the soul. It is necessary that if out of the heart evil proceeds, that the heart or the soul be transformed so that the mind may benefit from that transformation. It is an act of awesome madness to believe that grasping hold of some electrodes, sitting opposite a man, listening to your problems, passing through phases, and supporting L. Ron Hubbard in a style to which he has become accustomed, is the solution to the spiritual, emotional, and mental problems that mankind faces. And it is the height of egocentricity to tell the world that we cannot any of us go on pretending all is well, that it all will be well, unless we ourselves are audited. We will die as personal beings. No, better we should tell the world what Jesus said: unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. For where I am going, you cannot come. Christ really gave the answer. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. If you want to have your psyche put back in proper place, then bring it to the Lord Jesus. He has a long record of healing the soul, the mind, and the body, a great deal more effectively than a million L. Ron Hubbards and all the cultists and occultists that have ever lived. Surely the designer and the creator of the human soul and body is far more equipped to deal with our needs than those who are cursed with the same malady from which we suffer, the awful depravity of human sin. L. Ron Hubbard doesn't need to be audited. L. Ron Hubbard needs to be born again into God's kingdom. And those who are in Scientology need to know Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of sins, in the redemption of the soul, and in a life that is patterned after the image of the Son of God. If we're willing to face that, then it's possible to deal with the real issue of sin. But if we're not willing to face it, we will turn from Christ into all forms of perversion because we have not known the truth. Jesus Christ said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth as it is in Jesus is that God has made it possible for man to really find peace. It's not going to be found with an e-meter. It's not going to be found with Mr. Hubbard and his orgs. It's not going to be found with the double talk of Scientology and Dianetics. It's going to be found at the foot of the cross. And it'll be found in the person of the man who, on that cross, was the supreme identification with all human frailty and sin. God hath made him to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made as righteous as God by faith in him. Might I point something out that is also of great importance? A few years ago, I was in New York City during one of the Billy Graham Crusades and teaching a Bible class, which was then taught on a regular basis by the late Dr. Donald Barnhouse. We had a great number of people come from the Crusade to the Bible class. And one of these persons came, and she was a radiant Christian. I had never seen someone just light up like a fluorescent lamp when she entered a room. But she did. And if I'd ever seen somebody that was truly transformed, this woman was it. One night she came up to me and she said, "I would like very much, some night, if you don't mind, to give my testimony. I've just been saved at one of Billy Graham's meetings, and I want to tell people what Jesus did for me." I said, "Well, we'll look into it and see if we can't get it on the program some night." She said, "I'll type it out because I've never done anything like this in public. I'm a psychiatric nurse." And she said, I'm pretty good in the office, but not in public. I said, "All right, type it out." Well, she brought it in and gave it to me. And I read that thing. And if you ever wanted to read something that would stand your hair on end, there it was. She had been through every kind of sin imaginable, this bright, shining person. And she had quite literally been in mental institutions and under psychotherapy and psychoanalysis. She had been the whole route. When I read it, I couldn't believe it was the same person. But one paragraph caught my attention. And in connection with Scientology, which claims some of these things, I think it's most apropos. I'm quoting her now when she said, "I had come to the end of the line. There was no other way out but to kill myself. And one night, I went to Madison Square Garden because there really wasn't anything else to do. And there I heard for the really first time in my life that there was somebody that did understand me, could understand what the psychiatrist couldn't understand, could understand what the psychologist couldn't understand. Somebody who cared. And I found out that Jesus Christ really loved me. And that night, I went forward and gave myself, body, soul, and mind, broken, shattered, depraved to him. And she said, he touched me. And it was as if all the pieces of a shattered puzzle scattered all over a floor in a child's playroom suddenly, miraculously flew together into its proper place. And I saw me for the first time, and I saw Jesus. And I knew my sins were forgiven, and I was alive for all eternity. She got up and read that testimony, and she said, I'm here tonight to tell you, I don't know what words to use, except to say, Jesus takes the puzzle of our lives that scattered all over because of our sins, and he puts it all together brand new. That's what he did for me. Scientology can talk all at once about going clear. Mr. McMaster is not clear. Nobody has ever made it clear in Scientology. The only people who are clear are the people who have gone to the foot of the cross and have been touched by the hand of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who could say, as only incarnate deity can say, I will, be thou whole. We touch him in life's stress, press, and throng, and we are whole again. Our Father, bless thy word. Touch our hearts. Help us to see what Christ can do that all the cults and occultists have failed to do. They are telling us to reach out beyond, but you have told us to draw near to you, and you will draw near to us. Give us the power to reach out in love to these who are seeking help, but not from thee, from the forces of evil. Help us to have compassion and the love of Christ, and to reach forth in his name because he loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.